Hello and welcome to In the Grooves, the podcast where we break down the unbelievable, unpredictable, and unknown stories behind some of the greatest songs in history. I am one of your hosts, Giovanni Gargiulo, here with my brother Michael.
Hello.
And here with Nicole Cleopatra Winters.
Hi.
Yeah. New nickname.
I like
New middle name this week.
Not bad.
Do you have a real middle name?
I
don't want to know it.
Okay.
It's just going to keep giving
ours
you
are all
ones.
Better anyway, so...
Ours is in you and I?
No, our middle names for her will be better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're just going to keep getting donned with new middle names. I hope you're prepared for that. I expect new social media accounts with each one.
My actual middle name is kind of like off the cuff anyway.
What is it? Okay, now I do want to know.
Irene.
Come on, Irene.
Come on, Oh, no.
Yeah.
Play my favorite song. Leave that.
Cool.
Yeah. I know.
So.
That goes in the vault. I won't tell anybody.
Okay. I tell everybody.
All right. I assume it's just what you talk about on first dates.
It's then, like, the only thing I want to be called.
Yeah, but then you try to wink at them, but you end up winking with both eyes. It's just a blink. It's just a hard blink. It's like a really awkward.
That's why nobody calls me back.
Aw, Nicole.
Aww. We called you back.
We did call you back.
You did.
Yeah, not for a date though.
No.
It's the wrong team.
Right.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What are you listening to this week, Nikki?
I am listening to a band called Dr. Dog.
I know that band.
Yeah.
I definitely don't know this band.
They're good.
What do they do? What
they
type
play
of
music.
Is it? Thanks. There we go. All right, guys. So that's our podcast for the night, and we appreciate it. What type of music is it?
I don't know. How would you categorize that?
Oh, I don't know anything about them. I just know that I've heard of them.
Oh.
It sounds like a shitty YouTuber.
Oh.
Dr. Dog is what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know how to like put it.
I mean, is
into
it like
words.
Dancey? Is it rock? Is
no,
it country? Is it
like,
hip hop? Is it salsa?
Like
is it
folk
reggaeton?
Alternative?
Folk alternative?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't quote me on that.
All right.
I'll let you hear it later.
All right. Fair enough. I have been listening to, so I'm going through seemingly some sort of nostalgic phase. There's another podcast that I started listening to, which is called Talkville, which is. The guy who played Lex Luthor and Clark Kent in Smallville, just talking about episodes of Smallville. So I'm like, oh, I should watch episodes of Smallville again because, you know, I'm 39 years old and why the fuck not? And the intro song to Smallville is Save Me by Remy Zero, which I fucking absolutely love that band, even though it was only three records and the first one's pretty whack. So two records of Remy Zero. So I've been listening to two records of Remy Zero for basically all week and loving every goddamn second of it because those... two records were spectacular.
Whatever happened to them? Do you know?
They just broke up. Oh. And one of them murdered someone.
No.
That's not what happened. What? I don't know anything about that. No, I don't know what happened to them. They went into the ether. I think they crossed into the Phantom Zone.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. That I don't sucks. Know. Yeah. So oh, Remy Zero, man. Go check them out if you don't know Remy Zero. Cool songs, good music. Villa Elaine and The Golden Hum.
Forget yeah, The Golden Hum is really good.
Villa Elaine is good really too. Fucking saying, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know Remy Zero? Have you ever heard that?
No.
Anything about that?
You would probably know that hit that Save Me.
Save
hit.
Me.
That was a pretty big
save
hit.
Save Me.
Yeah. It's right? Great. You would know that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd know it if you heard it.
You ever watch Smallville?
No.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
You didn't miss much. I mean, it was like a CW teen.
Oh,
story
I remember what it
Superman.
Is.
Superman.
Yeah. I like vampires.
Oh, all right. Vampire Diaries and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, in that time, every other show was about vampires.
Pretty much.
Right.
So, yeah. That,
I'm surprised he wasn't actually
right. they
a vampire.
Yeah, they should have thrown one in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that dude didn't become a way bigger actor because he is handsome. The guy who played Clark
Kyle
Kent.
Tom Welling?
Tom Welling, yeah. He just, he did like a Cheaper by the Dozen, I think. And like a bit part in that. Not a bit part, but I think he played like the oldest of the kids
he
or
did.
Some shit. But that was still like not the main character in the movie.
But that kid... That guy who played Luther was in an episode of Sunny.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Michael Rosenbaum. But again, even he didn't really blow up into much of anything. So strangely.
Is that how it goes sometimes?
It's how it goes. One hit wonders. I mean, they were on fucking, I think that show was like 15 years.
I was going to say that show was on for
a long
time. And then that girl was in that sex cult and that became
a whole thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's
Mack,
a whole
yeah. She
thing.
Turned into that. Yeah, that took a turn.
I mean, it got
yeah,
real dark.
She was like
a lot of people.
She was the number two in the sex cult. She was fucking
like
branding
NXIVM
chicks and stuff.
Like oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. NXIVM, I think it was.
Yeah. It was serious.
Yeah.
And it implicated a lot of people. All right.
The implication.
Right. Right. Okay.
What about you? What are you listening to, Michael?
yeah. I was I was stuck in the 80s because we did a podcast about an 80s song. And then I was already listening to Tears for Fears. And then I went down like this rabbit hole of my 80s playlist. And it's been, there were so many one hit wonders in the 80s.
Yeah. That, I guess every generation, right?
Yeah,
I guess every decade has
of course, right? That I mean, that's fair. And I guess probably just because it's what, you know, our age is, whatever. But yeah, man, it was just been everything from like modern English.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, Talking Heads.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, this. It's
oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So good.
I don't know how I became Wisconsinian in the moment.
That was good.
Wisconsin?
Is it Wisconsin?
No, that'd be cool.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
That's cool. Be. Straight out of Bobby's World. Are you, Nicole, familiar with the 80s? Are you?
Yeah.
You were born in the 90s, right?
I was born in the 80s.
Were you? What, like 89?
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking bitch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
Asshole.
So, anywho. Yeah, in any event, in keeping with that theme, the song of the week is Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Yeah. So tell me, Nicole Winters, what is your knowledge of the song? Do you have any relationship with the song? Do you know anything about this song? Do you have any connection to this song?
I am in a fully committed relationship with the song.
Oh, wow. That's deep. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that.
I mean,
you're a hardcore Survivor fan, aren't you? You might be the only one. Right.
So the Rocky soundtrack, obviously. Right.
Naturally.
Anytime I went to the art museum in Philadelphia.
Oh, right. Because you're from fucking Philly. Wow. So you're right. I totally forgot that was a connection for you.
Yeah.
Do you say like right after the Pledge of Allegiance in school, you would then go right into Eye of the Tiger. Yeah. Yeah.
As you run. Yeah. And then Chance Subco, if you're ever listening to this podcast.
Oh my God. What a name drop.
He would just play this song and jump up on some desks and really get our day started. So.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I was not expecting.
Imagine having
I totally
fun at work.
Didn't realize so any of that, right?
Yeah. Giovanni, what is your connection to the song? Does it have any meaning to you? Do you have any memory tied to it?
Yeah. I mean, not to make it a racial thing, but obviously as an Italian, we are connected to Rocky. Just, I think we're
Eddie
related.
Murphy, Eddie Murphy laid this out for us.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job. I don't remember. Was that Raw or Delirious? I don't remember. Yeah. Either way.
Little Italian white man.
Right. That's exactly it. So that's where it is. It's one of those things, though, that I forget. I've forgotten for a long time because it's so synonymous with Rocky that you think it's from like Rocky 1, but it's not.
Oh,
it doesn't
not.
show right. up until Rocky 3.
Right.
So, but I think that's just, it just brings back Rocky. Like, these two things, if I think of Eye of the Tiger, I am picturing Rocky and the scenes from Rocky 3 in my head, fucking Clubber Lang, Mickey dying, spoiler alert, fucking Talia in the fucking hospital with the baby and shit, and you know, all that, all that. Pity the fool. He pities the fool.
Yeah. I think I'm mostly the same. And then like this song just became so synonymous with like, I mean, it's on the nose, but perseverance and often associated with sport, you know, all that
the
stuff.
Workouts, all that shit.
Anything, right? It's every single workout playlist that's ever been made by every human on earth. So yeah, I think it's almost like I don't remember a time where this song wasn't just, you know, you know what the song is and it has like this purpose. This song fulfills this purpose, and if everybody ever has a need for this purpose, this song will play a part in it.
Yeah, it's the backdraft of like workout songs. Like, you don't need another fire movie.
Backdraft is
you
the
don't
fire
need
movie.
Any other fire movies. That's it. They've done it. It's done. Fuck anything else. Fuck Ladder 49. Stupid movie. I don't give a shit about you.
Burn.
Oh my.
Burn?
Ah. Oh.
I see what you did.
What about that John Wayne one? What's it called? The Hellcats?
I don't know anything about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Nicole Winters, is there any part of the song, any specific piece of it, any transition, any lyric, any portion of it that excites you the most? At all?
Probably the beginning, because it pumps you up.
Yeah.
I mean, we keep talking about exercise, but I feel like this is one of those songs where, like, you got to clean the bathroom and you don't have the motivation. Eye of the Tiger.
It also works.
You know what I mean? You got to run after the ice cream truck and you can't find the motivation. Eye of the Tiger.
Like, I love that.
That tracks.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
That tracks.
Yeah, it does. Giovanni, does this song or does any part of this song stick out to you? Do you have a favorite part?
I hate to agree with Nicole Winters. I just hate to be a broken record. And also because I feel like every time we talk about what part of the song speaks to you. I feel like every time I'm like, yeah, it's the fucking intro.
Well, and songs for this like this, song,
it's the fucking intro. Like, because I don't really care about the lyrics of this song. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, I don't, like you said, it's very on the nose. Mm. They might as well mention Rocky and Clubber Lang in it. Like, it's almost to that extent, you know? But man, that fucking intro, the fucking guitar lick, the you know, the little da-da-da-da-da, and then you hit you with the fucking bam.
Yep.
You know, like, what else do you need from the fucking song?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It gets you there. You immediately start sweating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Immediately
yeah.
start
yeah. sweating. I think that we'll, obviously you'll end up finding that with most of these songs, I mean, they are massively successful for a reason.
Yeah.
And so if they can hook you from the jump, you know, that's going to be a common theme. But, you know, any part of it can speak to you specifically.
Yeah.
For me, I always notice, and incidentally, it is the intro also for me, but I always notice that it's off time. We're going to get to that in part of the discussion
it's
here.
Off time?
Right. Like part of the accents are like not, they're not like in time.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So what you may notice when you listen to it, like if you're trying to
keep me up now and I'm going to have some kind of rhythm, OCD reaction right. to this word now, anytime
you'll
I hear it.
You'll never hear it again.
Right. Okay. So let's dive in and we'll get to that. So, Eye of the Tiger was written by Survivor. Survivor was founded by Frankie Sullivan and Jim Pederick. Before that, Jim Pederick was the lead vocalist and guitarist for a band called the Ides of March, which had a hit.
Oh,
Vehicle.
Oh, right. Man, what a fucking song.
Which is one of the baddest songs
ever
written.
Yeah, take a half step back on fucking Vehicle, man. That song is great.
Yeah.
What a fucking tune, man.
Nikki doesn't know it.
Could you tell by my mouth wide open staring at you? Okay.
Yeah. The thousand yard stare you had of just glossiness.
And can't recommend it hard enough. Like, find that song.
It's got heavy, awesome vocals, and it's got
big
such
brass
a cool
section.
Fucking jam. Yeah, right. Man, that is a cool song.
Yeah. It's got that. Yeah, it's got that R&B feel. Yeah, it's
I'm sold.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay.
He also has co-written songs for
I'm so
bands.
Sorry, but a half step back. You said he was the singer? He sang Vehicle?
He was the lead vocalist and the guitarist.
Fuck me. Cool.
Yep. Yeah. He also co-wrote songs for bands like 38 Special, Leonard Skinnerd, REO Speedwagon, and Cheap Trick.
All right. Kind of don't really like most of those, but...
Right. I mean, they all had hits.
All hits, right.
Now,
all
very popular bands. I'm not going to run down all his specific credits, but he worked with all those bands and all of them had successful careers.
Yeah.
Survivor themselves had a minor hit in 1981 with a song called Poor Man's Son.
Nope.
So.
I know Fortunate.
That's just a little behind the scenes on the band. Now, Sylvester Stallone is making Rocky III, as we discussed. Yeah, yeah. He wants a theme song for the track, as we discussed. Rocky I and II both use the same theme song. He wanted something modern. He wanted something different from Gonna Fly Now. Now, to be clear, Gonna Fly Now is one of the best soundtrack scored songs ever.
Right. That's the instrumental, like bum 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 bum. Okay, yeah, it's great.
I mean, it is uplifting. It's inspiring.
It really is.
Right. I mean, that'll lift you right up off, you know, cleaning the toilet. I mean, you'll be on the like you're ready.
Yeah.
So, but he wanted something different. He wanted something like in the street. Part of the reason is that part of the themes of Rocky III are he's become too bougie, as
right.
it were.
Yes.
He's gotten soft.
Yep. Mickey's fucking handpicking fights that he knows he can win. He's protecting him. Clubber Lang comes in. He's like, I'm fucking fuck you up. You're not hungry like I am.
Right.
All that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's gone soft.
It's great. Are we watching fucking Rocky III?
Right.
I have to. Yeah. Spoilers for Rocky and the entire Rocky saga. Spoilers from here on out.
This is a Rocky fan club podcast.
This is a Rocky podcast for sure. So just be ready for that. We are fanning. Sylvester Stallone asked Queen for Another One Bites the Dust.
Mm.
He wants to use that.
I don't know that would have fit as well.
They turn him down.
Hmm.
So Sylvester Stallone ends up hearing the song Poor Man's Son. He calls Jim. He requests them to make a song for Rocky III. He wants something that sounds like Another One Bites the Dust. And he actually sends them a videotape of the first few minutes of the film.
Oh.
The tape that he sends them already has Another One Bites the Dust on it because he just assumed that they'd get the rights. So he sends them this copy.
Wow.
Now, obviously, keep in mind, this is the 80s, so this is like a huge deal, right? Because if anybody got their hands on that tape, or if that tape ever got out, or it just didn't get delivered, or something weird happened that tape got out, I mean, it's Rocky III, one of the biggest franchises in movies. So that's pretty insane that he
That's
sent
pretty
them
wild.
Yeah.
They didn't like call him into a studio and have like a closed door session of like, hey, we need this sort of thing.
Just
They're just
in
like,
the mail.
Here you go.
But it was meant for inspiration. It's like, here's a few minutes of the movie, like, you know, get the inspiration from actually watching it. But again, Another One Bites the Dust was already on it. So it's like, okay, well, you're really going to ask us to like live up to Queen. Like,
right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
So anyway,
this band, which has not had much of any success, nope. Right? Okay.
Right. So they originally offer him a song, which is a ballad called Ever Since the World Began. But they also play him the demo for Eye of the Tiger. Sly loved it so much, he didn't even want them to go and record like the fully polished, completed version. He just wanted to use it immediately. The demo. That's how like
psyched. So they recorded the demo in full, and he's just like, here's like the raw unedited, like here's just the
right.
The track itself.
Here's the take we did.
Yeah. And he's like, yep, that's the one. He's right. Like, I can imagine myself training with Apollo Creed in California in a dingy gym
right.
to this song.
Right. Okay.
I'm just going to fucking walk us through the whole movie, just so you know. Like, we're just going to get through as you tell the story. I'm going to pepper in fucking moments from the movie.
I know. So the song was originally called Survival, but they changed the lyric and they changed the title. I mean, they didn't really care because it rhymed. They didn't really care that it rhymes with rival because the hook was phenomenal. The dialogue from the movie itself has Apollo telling Rocky that he needs the Eye of the Tiger. Mm-hmm. So they literally just lifted it right out of the movie.
So wait, that was dialogue in the movie before the soundtrack?
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
So they just take
it. So they like ripped it out of the movie itself?
Right.
So the band Survivor tried naming
the song.
The song.
It was going to be Survival. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Amazing, right? So the version that's in the movie is the demo.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's
like the first recording of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, if you go and buy the record, it's the fully completed, polished version of the song. That's why if you buy the record, it is a different version. Like, it's noticeably different than the one that's actually used in the film.
All right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not something that I would necessarily recognize. Because usually, like, when you have a song in a movie, it's usually edited to fit whatever's going on. So, like, it's usually kind of chopped. Like, there have been plenty of songs in a movie where it's just like, that's not the next verse. Why did it jump to that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know that I would, like, recognize that. But that's pretty interesting that's what was used.
I can't think of, like, now I have to go watch it. Because I can't think of how it's different.
You'd have to listen to them side by side.
Yeah.
Because, again, on the album, didn't come out until later. So.
Well, I'm sure Gio will.
Well, I'm saying in about 45 minutes, we'll go ahead and go watch
exactly.
it.
Right. Yeah. And we could probably just live stream it.
Oh, there we go.
We'll just do commentary, live commentary.
What are we, fucking Mystery Science Theater?
Yeah, we can MST3K it.
Right. I would kind of be into that, though.
Yep. So, they did the demo in one day. The vocal was completed in one take.
Wow.
And I mean, obviously, you can hear the similarities between Another One Bites the Dust and Eye of the Tiger, right? I mean, it's the same R&B feel. It's the same tempo. It's four on the floor with the pulse. You know what I mean? Like you can see why it's like, okay, they were clearly inspired and they tried to do the best they could. It's like, we're not going to write a Queen song, bro. But
I don't think that I would. If you never told me that there was any connection there, I don't think I would ever be like, oh, this kind of reminds me of Another One Bites the Dust.
Me neither.
I mean, structurally.
Right. But I can see what you're saying now that if you're saying like, oh, like I could see that now. I would never just by listening to it be like, oh, this reminds me of Another One Bites the Dust.
There's a lot of songs that I've heard where I would have said that, but this is not one of them.
Fair enough. Now, when they were writing the song, because they had the video of a few minutes of the movie, the beginning of the movie, they literally tried to line up those accents at the intro with the punches that are in the opening like few minutes of the montage, which is why they're off rhythm. So you have to almost watch it in sync with the film to see why, like, in the beginning few minutes, it's like that montage or whatever, and they're lining up the accents by that instead of just doing it in time. So this is how like closely they try, like, we're writing a song for this movie. Let's write a song for the movie.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And that's why all the accents are just like kind of off kilter. Isn't that wild?
Okay, so I'm gonna make a comment, and you can cut me off if I go too far in the wrong direction on this, but that's really funny to me because I feel like oftentimes it's the opposite.
I was literally thinking that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I forget who the director of Baby Driver was. Do you know who the director of Baby Driver was?
Edgar Winter.
Okay. So he often does what's called Mickey Mousing in movies, where he lines up the score or the, like, whatever music you're hearing in the movie at the time or to whatever's going on in the movie. So like in Baby Driver, very, very much it's
Edgar Wright, not Edgar.
Edgar, I would say Edgar Winter is not. Yeah, like in Mickey, in the old Mickey Mouse cartoons or Bugs Bunny or any of that stuff, right? You remember like he tiptoes and you hear the pluck of the violin. And
yeah.
Boom, boom. Bing, 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 so that's why they call it Mickey Mousing. So he does that. But again, I think he fits the movie to like, not this where they just like, oh, here's a copy of the movie. Just go ahead and write the song. And then they write the song around like what they're seeing on screen. That's fucking, that's wild.
Right. But
that's
Edgar
really
Wright,
funny.
But Edgar Wright takes songs that are already hits.
Right. But that's what I mean. He takes the song and then way. Sinks right. the movie to the song. This they're is doing the opposite of
right.
that.
But Sly asks for an original song.
Right.
Right. So it's
funny to me.
Right. It's a completely yeah. different kind of dynamic.
And they probably weren't expecting...
What's that word?
Expecting it to blow up the way that it did.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if you can imagine, right. I mean, Sylvester Stallone is one of the biggest movie stars in the world and the biggest franchise in the world is about to put out what will obviously be one of the biggest films in the world, says, you're going to write the song for this? Or yeah, at least, you know, take a crack at it, and he loves it.
Yeah.
The demo?
Shit. Yeah, right? You think you're fucking, that's it. I would think my career's made.
Right.
And I would think I would go on to do fucking
right.
stadium tours and have huge hits after this.
Right.
Which I'm sure they don't because I've never heard of them outside of the song.
Right. Well, you have. Watch. So the movie's released on May 28th, 1982. Mm-hmm. The single is released on the same day. And then the album is released on June 8th. So like 10 days later.
Wow. I don't know what that timeline usually looks like from a movie to the soundtrack releasing.
Well, again, remember it's a little bit of a different process because, you know, they're happy to make a record, but now they had this basically what was a built-in promotional machine. So
right.
it's like
oh,
you got to get it out.
Oh
get
no,
it
I, out, get I it totally out, get it. I'm just right. saying I don't that seemed like when you're explaining that seems very fast to me.
Yeah,
but I guess I don't know what that timeline usually looks like, but that seems like it's
crazy.
Yeah,
it could
be
different for anything, right. So the album, the song goes to number one in the US and the UK. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They do a music video, it gets on MTV, and by August of 82, it is certified platinum.
Mm. Wow.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, every Italian in the country bought a copy.
Right. Exactly.
We all had it, or was gifted during your baptism or birth, whatever
right.
present, whenever your next birthday was.
Right. And it essentially becomes an iconic movie montage,
right?
Right, and that's
certainly
a technique that's copied, you know, forever. Well, obviously, it wasn't the first montage in movies, but it becomes one of the most famous montages in movies. And Rocky obviously has, you know, continues to use that technique later on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the montage is sort of always.
I love a montage.
Right, but it's you know it's always maybe not credited to Rocky, but like everybody talks about the Rocky montage.
Yeah,
the workout montage, well, the training montage.
See, I don't know if you quite understand, movies. But in Rocky III, Mike is that I'm not going to get into. I'm not going to spend the whole thing. So he does not believe that he can beat. Because at the very beginning, he loses his belt to fucking Clubber Lang. So now the main crux of the movie is him trying to get the rematch and fight and try to get his belt back.
So there's two montages in this movie.
Two fights in this movie.
There's the montage at the very beginning.
Yeah, it's a and soft then, montage, which is just about like Rocky winning a bunch of fights against fucking jobbers,
yeah.
a bunch of fucking nobodies and over the hill and people that he was going to crush. And like, it's like the first montage is like, oh, I tapped him twice and won on points. Like he wasn't a fucking fight like the, you know. So that, and of course, fucking Mickey dies right after he loses to Clubber Lang, and fucking Tyler Shire goes into a fucking coma with the baby and all that shit.
When Mickey dies,
that shit was hard. That's a top five death in movies, man. That shit is sad.
That's definitely, it's definitely up there on the
list.
It's
hard
for sure.
Yeah. So then he, you know, he's training for his fight, but he's not really into it because fucking Talia Shire isn't there with him. And he's staying by the bed and he's like, he's not into it. He doesn't have fucking Mickey's dead and fucking Paulie and Apollo are fighting and Apollo's trying to fucking snap him out of it. And like fucking snap him out of it and he can't snap him out of it. But then Talia wakes up and she's like, fucking win.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, I've got the biggest hard-on I've ever had, and now he can fight, and he's running on the beach and his fucking cut off and his Daisy Dukes, and they're hugging in the ocean.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
It's
moving.
Sexy. It's a sexy, sexy scene.
It's the thrill of the fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You could say that it's that.
Yeah.
So, the song wins the Grammy for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or a Group.
Are they a duo?
Well, I mean, the band, it's the category is by a duo or a group.
Or group. Oh, right. Duo or group.
It wins the People's Choice Award for Best New Song.
Okay.
It was nominated for a fucking Oscar.
Wow.
What?
Jesus.
Yes, dude.
Jesus.
Yes. It lost to Love Lift Us Up by Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warnes.
Love Lift Us Up Where yeah. We Belong.
It's Officer and Gentleman.
Yeah.
I do love that song.
It's a great
song.
Not
going to lie. Yeah.
The eagle flies. I'm sorry that I feel like on every episode of this podcast I have sung and I'm sorry for
yeah,
that.
Man, get into it.
I really like it, actually.
It's really bad, mm-hmm. but it's good. Thanks.
Incidentally, back then, if you watched the Oscars, they would do musical they still do musical performances of the songs that are nominated. The Temptations did Eye of the Tiger that year.
Oh, weird.
Do yourself a favor and go on YouTube and look that up.
Is it good or bad?
It's an adventure.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That does not sound good.
Don't deprive yourself of this.
Okay.
Go on YouTube and find The Temptations performing Eye of the Tiger at the Oscars. It's phenomenal stuff. So obviously the song is a massive, massive smash hit, mm-hmm. right? Stallone is so pleased that he asked them to come back to do the title track for Rocky IV.
Oh.
And they do it, and they write Burning Heart in 1985, which is also a hit. Is This Love is the B-side to that. Also a hit, which was on the next album, Vital Signs. And you remember that from Rocky IV, obviously. In the burning heart.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, not as good as...
It's not as good, but it was still a hit. Sure. But so these guys just got like, imagine that.
Yeah, they
imagine like getting your big break
out of some,
right? Like this one dude, it's like, it's not that it's free promotional material, but what a vehicle for your song. Like if the song is attached to this film and the film's a hit, your song is almost going to be by default a hit. Even if you disappear into obscurity, you're going to sell X number of units no matter what.
I'm
you know what because
of
the songs.
Right.
I'd be interested to know what would have happened with that song. Like, say they just created it.
Right. And just
and
put it out.
And it wasn't on Rocky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling it wouldn't have been. I. That's what I'm saying. Like, it is synonymous with Rocky. And I think without Rocky, it is not that big of a hit.
Yeah.
Don't know. We'll never know.
We will never know.
And that's part of the journey that we're all going on together.
It's a good journey.
Good journey.
Buckle up.
Yeah. So they get a twofer from Sly.
Yeah.
That is quite a gift.
That's a big gift.
And it's not like they did. Wait, they earned it. They wrote the song. The song is dope and it worked. So yeah. it's not like it was a free ride.
Indictment on them, the fact that their only hits are from the two Rocky movies and they couldn't capitalize it beyond that?
I don't think it's
I'm not
an
trying to talk shit
them.
About Survivor. I'm just trying to say.
I mean, look, man, you make it where you can get it.
You also said that the guy who was in The Ides of March is not the lead singer of Survivor, correct?
He's not the lead singer, no.
I think that's where you fucked up, because the vocals in fucking Vehicle, I'm just going to keep talking about Vehicle. It's a better song.
Yeah.
Vehicle's
a better song than Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, definitely is. But those vocals are fucking powerful as hell.
Powerful
and
as
totally
hell.
Opposite. Like, they are soulful as shit, and Eye of the Tiger is very, it's like a higher octave and whatever. It's like, very 80s rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different guy. So we're actually going to come to that. Oh. So in 1987, Survivor released the album Caught in the Game, but it was a commercial disappointment. Mm-hmm. Adding to that setback, lead vocalist Dave Bickler had to have surgery to remove polyps from his vocal cords.
Oh, that's rough.
Sucks, right?
Yeah.
The band didn't want to wait for his recovery, so they fired him, and they hired a new singer, Jimmy Jameson.
They were just like, peace out, bitch.
Ice cold, right?
That is fucking harsh.
Jimmy Jameson.
They sure did hire Jimmy Jameson. And then you know what they did after that? They went ahead and got another song in another movie.
Oh, stop it.
Yep. So they had another hit with the song The Moment of Truth for The Karate Fucking Kid.
The first Karate Kid?
The first
Ralph
Karate
Macchio.
Kid. Yep. And all of that helps boost the band like into a comeback.
Under the band name Survivor with a totally different singer.
Yep.
Wow.
JJ.
Yeah.
Fucking JJ.
Moment of Truth.
That's wild.
With which was, again, one of the biggest movies ever made.
Yeah, Karate Kid was huge.
Ever made.
Yep. Yeah.
Can you effing imagine this band just had three hits in three separate movies? Three hit movies.
Yeah.
And the third
didn't even have Sly in it.
Rocky IV was massive.
Yeah.
And Karate Kid was one of the biggest movies
ever
made.
God, do you just go to like a movie studio and be like, hey, sign us to whatever movies you're making right now so we can pump out another hit? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if that's something that happened back then or not, but I would almost be like, yeah, go to some fucking executive at any fucking movie studio and be like, hey, we've cranked out three bangers for you. Just what's your next movie? Send us a tape. We'll give you a fucking mix.
I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda. How did he keep getting? But I'm saying he kept getting jobs because he had a massive hit.
Yeah.
And again, this band, who knows? Like, as you said, we'll never know what would have become of them.
Yeah.
But Sly found them, and they had a massive hit for this franchise. If you're about to start a new franchise and you want to have song attached to it, it's all vertical integration, Lemon. Like, just put it together.
Damn it.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, and people still do that today. Like, who's a hot ass pop star? Make them the voice of your cartoon movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
100%. You know what I mean? And that's been happening for forever, you know? And if they write songs, even better.
Justin Timberlake, I feel like that's what's kept him relevant.
Oh, yeah? I don't know anything about what JT.
I don't know what
doing.
He's been up to, but yeah.
In voiceover.
He's been doing voice me at work.
Yeah. Oh, no shit.
Oh, word. Mm-hmm. So that's the story of the song. It is on the backs of three massively hit movies that this band became a thing.
That's so weird.
So.
Nikki, if they were not affiliated with any movie, do you think any of these, and maybe this isn't jumping ahead. Do you see this in any way, these songs being as popular as they are?
I could see Eye of the Tiger still being popular, but maybe not to the extent that it was because of Rocky. Because I don't know any of the other songs leads me to believe absolutely not.
Yeah, I definitely only know the other song from Rocky IV.
Yeah.
And certainly don't remember it being like on the radio or anything like that.
No.
And
no.
I don't even know if I know The Karate Kid, obviously, but I don't know that I even know that song from The Karate Kid.
No.
Because that's not even like the
moment of truth. It's not.
I think the main song from The Karate Kid.
I don't know if it's the main song or not. I don't really recognize it. I mean, I've heard it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That kind of makes me think though, because there are a lot of songs in movies that you kind of just like, meh.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Because Eye of the Tiger got so popular, like maybe it would have.
I mean, Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty undeniable song. I mean, it's not like.
It's hugely popular. I just don't know. Like, do you just Gold's Gym
itself.
And be like, "Hey, start pumping me in with the mix that you have here," and does it take off from that?
I mean, here's the thing: any song, any band, any artist needs promotion to get exposure to become anything, right? So, the fact that they got attached to one of the biggest movies of the year is obviously a huge boon, and you should be grateful for it. But there are obviously we've talked about this. There are thousands of bands writing millions of songs that we will never hear, some of which are phenomenal, but we just never heard them because they were never exposed.
Right.
And never
I'm not trying to talk shit about them.
I think the song itself is pretty damn strong.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's run down the top five, 1982. Are you ready to come along?
Yes.
I am ready.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Number five, Centerfold by the J. Geils Band.
Bum, bum, love that song.
Yep.
Bet.
Yep. Good song.
Number four, Ebony and Ivory, Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder.
Again.
Well, it's the same year.
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, both of these are very familiar.
They're both 1982. So
okay.
So we'll go through it.
Yeah, go quick.
Number three, I Love Rock and Roll, Joan Jett.
We've been here.
You hate Joan Jett.
Yeah, I can't stand Joan Jett. Number two, Eye of the Tiger.
Right.
And number one, Physical by Olivia Newton-John, who died.
R.I.P.
Oh, you just said, you told me.
So pour one out.
Pour one out for O.N.J.
I mean, she was a part of our lives.
She definitely was. Grease, man.
She did get Physical.
Yeah.
So she at least had one hit.
Two workout songs back to back, one and two.
Oh, wow. Shit. That's right. That is a workout song.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Jane Fonda and shit, man.
Get your singlets out.
Right. There you go.
Get your singlets out. So, yeah.
Singlets made a comeback.
Yeah, they did.
So, did they?
Not hot. You.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Totally not into it. Definitely don't wear one all the time.
All right. Nicole Winters, is this Survivor's best song?
It's the only one I know.
Fair enough.
So Giovanni, yes.
Is this their best song?
It's a hard yes. It's an easy yes.
Hard yes. I mean, if it's a one-hit wonder, I mean, I guess it's hard to call them one-hit wonder because the other songs did charge, but those other songs aren't on the radio.
No.
No.
Okay. Nikki Winters, is this song on your playlist? And if so, do you skip it or play it?
It is now on a playlist.
Oh, snap.
Oh, shit.
Convert.
No, outside of the playlist that we usually talk about.
Outside of your housework playlist.
No. Okay. It's on a work playlist.
Okay.
For my morning huddles.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That counts.
Yeah.
That
counts. Totally counts.
Giovanni.
No. I
really?
Used to, and we'll talk about it in a moment, I used to have it on a playlist. I do not currently, but probably will again.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have this currently on a playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is now the part of the podcast where we will move on to what other kind of playlist could this...
No, we don't rate it first?
Oh, yeah, I guess we can rate it.
You fucking piece of shit.
All right, rate it. Fucking rate it. Nikki Winters, rate this song. 1 to 10.
Nicole Cleopatra Winters.
Okay. For what it is...
You don't even...
For what it's meant to be, a 10.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nicole Cleopatra Winters.
I know.
A 10?
I know. 10. I usually rate pretty low, but...
No, I mean...
it's for you. It's your rating.
Yeah. It just... Every like testosterone molecule in my body just gets activated and makes me just want to punch the shit out of someone.
I guess she's right. I mean, that is the purpose of the song.
Right.
I mean,
it is doing that. Even if it's literally from a boxing movie.
I mean, look, even if it is on the nose, it serves its purpose, right? Yeah. That's what it was meant to do. And All right, Giovanni.
You know, that's an interesting thing because there are a handful of songs in the universe that I feel perfectly express the feeling that they're trying to convey in a song. So like for me, one of those biggest songs is I've Just Seen a Face by the Beatles. There's no other song that describes the excitement of first meeting a new potential partner than I've Just Seen a Face. It is the quintessential, absolutely perfect, jovial song of I've Just Seen it, of that interaction.
That love at first sight thing.
Right.
Knock me on my ass. I just saw this girl. You won't believe it.
Right. Or this person, whatever you're into. So I see where you're coming from with the 10 and saying, you know what? This is literally a song built for me for a boxing movie to be like, activate my testosterone. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to clean the bathroom. I'm running after the ice cream man, whatever it is. It's going to get me motivated. I could see that. So originally I was like, 10, you're fucking out of your mind. But I'm coming around to it.
It's a solid case. But I mean, I guess it depends on how you want to set up your own criteria of how you're going to build your rating.
Yeah. And it's for her. It's her 10.
It's just not a song I would normally listen to unless I had a meaning behind it.
Right.
Like you respect it. It's a pump up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pump up song.
Yeah.
So it's a 10 for my pump up.
Because if you ever need that, well, guess what? I know what to do.
It's the go-to.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Giovanni, rate the song from 1 to 10.
For me, it's a 7. The lyrics are not good. And it's a 7 because of the music behind it. It's the intro for me and the fucking bam, 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 bam. You know, it's a 7. It's just not that.
I see
what Nikki's saying.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't necessarily get me all the way there. Like
it does. And you know what?
But again, just me.
Right. And sometimes for me, you know, sometimes it's just if a song is so ubiquitous, it's so overexposed that it's like, we get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's not the song's fault. I mean, it was massively successful and they're cashing those royalty checks every single time it gets played. But sometimes that's just what happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like a 7.5.
Okay.
And that's where it tops out. But I mean, all points are valid and I actually agree with what everybody's saying. It's just for me, it's like, after like the basketball South Park guy is like parody, you know what I mean? And then like that kind of song became a parody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's the pump up song where it's like, you got to go out and do the thing and you're going to win. Like that whole, it's like, okay. So, you know.
Yeah. America. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Right. So anyway, 7.5 for me.
Okay.
Okay. So let's jump into playlists. Nicole Winters.
My favorite part.
Yeah, this is the best part. You will kick us off.
Okay.
What other kind of playlist could this song be on?
So I thought of a playlist full of body parts.
Oh, man.
Anatomical playlist. I love it.
I like it.
I named it Rock Your Body.
Is it just human body parts?
Would you like to know a few songs?
Yeah.
I want to know the whole thing. Yeah. Fucking A.
Run it down. Love this.
Love this for you.
Love this for me. Okay. I Want to Hold Your Hand, The Beatles.
Fantastic.
Love it.
Yep.
Head Over Feet, Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
But not Head Over Heels. this is a Tears for Fears podcast. It is a Tears for Fears podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
Sea Legs, The Shins.
Oh my God, we just listened to this song.
How did you even know
40
that?
Minutes
Hold
ago.
On. The next song, Head Over Heels.
Oh, shit.
Tears for Fears.
Hold on. Stop.
Wow. Everybody stop. In my brain.
This needs to stop right now. How do you even know that song by The Shins? Honestly, do you already know that song?
Wait, I know this. No, no. That is your favorite Shin
song.
Yeah,
that's
my favorite fucking Shin song.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I knew this about you. Someone told me this
I learned this about you.
Yeah.
Okay, we are simpatico.
Okay. Love it.
Totally in sync.
Okay.
Bye. Wait, that's Backstreet Boys.
Pale Blue Eyes, The Velvet Underground.
Yep. Okay.
Fat Bottom Girls, Queen.
Classic.
100%.
Far Away Eyes, The Rolling Stones.
Okay.
My Iron Lung, Radiohead.
Yes.
Hand in Glove, The Smiths.
Okay.
Heart at Races, Dr. Dog.
Don't know what that is.
Heartbreak Hotel, Elvis.
All right.
And then Eye of the Tiger.
Sure. It's a good list. I feel like there's way more even. Like that list
obviously
could be very long.
Right, that could be
any
a long
heart, right, any of that. But
your
that was
selections,
a good list.
I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad she came to Head Over Heels. Mm-hmm. I was worried for a
I'm
second.
Just happy you did Sea Legs. That's one of my favorite Shin song.
Favorite
we literally
song.
Just listened to it like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. I listened to it on the way here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Red.
So good.
All right, Giovanni, what kind of playlist could this song be on?
So I know mine's a little generic, but it's simply just 80s movies soundtracks.
80s movies soundtracks. Okay,
yeah.
That works.
So I'm going to go through all of them. So just buckle up. Sorry, this is my favorite part. So Moving in Stereo by The Cars from Fast Times to Ridgemont High.
Love that song.
Yep. Let's Hear It for the Boy, Denise Williams from Footloose.
Oh, I do love that song.
The most embarrassing song that I love.
Sunroof open, windows down, just as. Yep.
I'm singing into my broomstick, doing dusting and chores with my mom. Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. She's Like the Wind, Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yes.
By Patrick motherfucking Swayze.
Okay.
I'm not going to give credit to the other person on it because it's fucking Patrick motherfucking Swayze. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Tears of Fears, Real Genius. I Melt With You, Modern English, Valley Girl, Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins, Top Gun.
Danger
Obviously,
Zone.
Kenny Loggins is going to be on here a lot. It's the 80s.
I mean, he did kind of own it. Him and the other guy whose name is escaping me. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm All Right, Kenny Loggins from Caddyshack. I mean, who doesn't love a dancing gopher?
The dancing gopher
Come on.
Is phenomenal.
Playing with the Boys, Kenny Loggins from Top Gun. That's just for me. That's for no one else. That's just for me. The volleyball scene in fucking the original Top Gun. You cannot beat it. Twist and Shout, The Beatles, Ferris Bueller's. Yeah, you sure could. Kokomo, The Beach Boys from Cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Glory of Love, Peter Cetera from Karate Kid Part 2. You're the Best, Joe Bean Esposito, Karate Kid Part 1.
You're the Best Around. Nothing can ever bring you down.
Yep. The Power of Love, Huey Lewis in the News, Back to the Future. I'm not done. I'm going to keep going. You can edit this if you want to. Fight the Power, Public Enemy, Do the Right Thing.
For sure.
Yep. Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, Starship from Mannequin.
Oof, that's harsh.
Under fucking cut. What a great movie. What a Feeling, Irene Carter from, and Maniac, Michael Cimbello, both from Flashdance.
Flashdance.
Yeah. Mm. St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion.
Man in
John Parr
Motion.
By St. Elmo's Fire, from St. Elmo's Fire. In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel from Say Anything. I mean, come on, holding up the fucking
old-timer.
The boot box.
Old-timer.
The jukebox.
The boot box.
The boot box. Yep. The fart box. Time of My Life, Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes from Dirty Dancing. Of course. I mean, who are we? Don't You Forget About Me, Simple Minds, The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Try a Little Tenderness, Otis Redding, Pretty in Pink. If You Leave, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
OMD.
What a fucking 80s band name. Pretty in Pink. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves, Look Who's Talking. Yeah. And you mentioned it, Up Where We Belong, Jennifer Warner, Joe Cocker, and Maxine Green from Officer and a Gentleman.
Very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just quintessential 80s movies.
It's banger after banger.
Yeah. To me, when you're doing an 80s movie soundtrack playlist, you have to be able to immediately equate
that
song from like a scene in the movie. You know, you could do like Hungry Eyes. There's a bunch of others, obviously.
As you were saying them, I was literally
picturing. Imagine.
If it takes you there.
It has to take you.
I'll take you there.
Right. Sorry.
It puts you there. All right.
Yeah, it put me there.
Minor songs. I put this in a playlist for songs about cats.
I'm sorry, just cats?
Cats?
Like cats, felines?
Eye of the Tiger. Yeah, big cats, little cats.
Like Cats, the Broadway fucking musical?
No.
I love that musical.
Did you see the movie with the fucking CGI?
No, I refuse.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I
that's
heard
shit
it's really
nightmares.
Bad.
Yeah,
I saw it live in New York.
You
did?
Mm-hmm. I've never seen Cats.
I love Broadway. So
way to get cultured.
Mm-hmm. We've been a lot of that.
All cats are demons. So let's just be clear about
what
that.
What about the Jellicle cats?
I don't
right.
I'm not. I
rest my
case. You can respond to that. I can't with this right now.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay. All cats are demons, and there's no two ways about it, and I'll die on this hill.
Little cats. Big cats are cool. Lions and tigers and panthers and leopards and all that.
Yeah.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Lucifer Sam, Pink Floyd.
Oh, that is about their cat.
A cat.
What a weird...
Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cats.
Oh, sure.
Cat People by David Bowie.
Yeah, okay.
The Siamese Cat Song from Lady and the Tramp.
You were reaching. He was reaching.
Please. Is that a credited song
it's
anywhere?
Credited. It's on the soundtrack.
We are Siamese, if you please.
Oh, shit.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
We are Siamese, if you don't.
Dude, those
please.
Fucking, those cats were fucking terrifying. Assholes yeah. And scary.
They were bullies.
They were bullies.
Yeah, they were, almost like they were scary.
All right. Year of the Cat by Al Stewart. I effing love that song.
I don't know that I know
Yes,
that.
You do. The Year of the Cat. Oh, my God. Maybe. That song is so good. What's New, Pussycat?
Oh,
Tom Jones.
Okay. Have you ever heard the John Mulaney, he does a bit
yeah.
about that? Okay.
It's outstanding.
It's so good.
All right, so we'll pitch that. If you are listening, go on YouTube and find the What's New, Pussycat bit
from John
Mulaney. It's killer.
It's great.
Side note, Tom Jones' voice is so strong that he once destroyed a microphone in the studio with the power of his voice. He blew the... Right.
Wow.
Yep. What?
Yeah.
Wow. Why did he even need a microphone at that point?
Where am I? The Pink Panther theme by Henry Mancini.
Oh, come on.
Count it. Count. Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin.
Oh, stop. Okay, these aren't songs about cats. These are just songs that have like cat somewhere like reference, because that song is about wanting to commit suicide.
It's about making
that's what
you,
that song's about, right.
It's about making you call your dad.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's a song about calling your dad.
It really is.
Where yeah. does the cat?
Call your father.
Where it's the cats, cats in the cradle is the name of the song.
Oh.
So, but it's not about spoon. A cat.
You would
it's
know
a,
it if you heard it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad. I used to make my old boss listen to it because he would work too late, but Scott, because mm-hmm. he would work all fucking hours. I'm like, dude, you're fucking, you have little kids at home. You're missing them growing up. And then I would make him listen to the Cats in the Cradle.
He died on the Long Island Expressway.
No, what?
Harry Chapin.
Oh.
Sucks.
So you meant Scott. I'm like, I just saw him.
Right. No, did he get hit by a car?
He was in a car accident, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sucks,
that's
right?
Fucking really. Yeah, way to bring it all the way
cradle,
down.
Right? Well, I mean, Cats in the Cradle, guys.
Yeah, all right.
Honky Cat, Elton John.
Oh, good one.
Bring it right back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right back up.
I love
it's a good song.
Yeah, we needed something yeah. after some
I,
of those.
I feel like it's an
the Pink
it's not
Panther.
Underrated because it's still a hit. Okay, the Pink Panther song. Everybody knows the Pink Panther song, and it makes you feel very sneaky. And it makes you
yeah,
feel like
it definitely feels very sneaky.
Yeah, I want to be a spy when it's that. But yeah. Honky Cat, I feel like never gets enough credit, even though it was a hit, and it is a hit.
Yeah.
But whenever I hear people talk about Elton John, this song's always forgotten. I love Honky
it's
Cat.
It's definitely on my Elton John playlist.
And Iron Lion Zion by Bob Marley.
All right.
The end.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a bad playlist.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you came up with that many songs with cats in it, really.
Some of them were a little bit of a reach, but...
Some of them were questionable, definitely. Definitely.
Worth it.
Proud of every one of those songs.
Worth it.
Worth it.
So as you are listening to this podcast, hopefully, and telling all your friends and family about it, please reach out to us on social media. Create your own playlist. Put it in the comment section. Put it on Facebook, Instagram,
whatever.
Vote for
the playlist you want.
Vote for the playlist you want. We'll create it. We'll throw it out on Spotify. Or do you have Apple? Nickel Cleopatra Winters? Do you have Apple?
No, I use Spotify.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be on Spotify. So mm-hmm. get Spotify. Tough shit. Like, subscribe, share. Reach out to us on the podcast names.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.